the name of the values that keep you alive, do not let your vision of man be distorted by the ugly, the cowardly, the mindless, and those who have never achieved his title. Do not lose your knowledge that man's proper estate is an upright posture, an intransigent mind, and a step that travels unlimited roads. Do not let your fire go out, sparked by replacing the spark in the hope the swamps of the approximate are not quite, the not yet, the not at all. The world you desired can be won. It exists. It is real. It is possible. It's yours.
Welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kalabian, and today we're here with Matthew Sullivan, who's the CEO of Quantum.
It's QuantumRE. And good afternoon, Mark. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Well, great to have you. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about how crypto might be able to be integrated into the real estate market. And what you guys are doing is essentially trying to give people the option to leverage some of the equity in their home to other investors as opposed to just a bank or some sort of reverse mortgage lender. Is that right?
It is. It's but we studiously avoid the word leverage because what we're doing is we're helping homeowners release the equity that's locked up in their home without taking on any more debt. So that's the really new idea. That's what's very different to traditional ways of releasing trapped equity.
And so if I was a homeowner, what does make this different? Is it just going to be the fact that I have all of a sudden, you know, hundreds of people who are going to be able to buy a piece of this equity on an open market? Is it going to be similar to a stock or similar to maybe... I'm not sure what other financial instrument you might compare it to, but how would you describe it?
Well, let's talk first of all about the homeowner's dilemma. If you own a home and you've been paying off the equity over a number of years, you'll find yourself in a position, you know, probably when you have the least amount of cash coming in, where you're sitting on the most amount of equity. So I think the number is something like 65%. Of all Americans' wealth is concentrated in one asset, which is the equity in their home. So if you think about it from an investment perspective, all of your eggs are in one basket, typically speaking, and that basket is the equity in your home. You trust it though, because you live there and you know that bricks and mortar are a safe investment, but it's illiquid, and the only way you can get your hands on it currently is to go back to the bank and to take out a loan product. And that loan product could be a second mortgage, a home equity line of credit, or, as you quite rightly say, a reverse mortgage. So, you know, right now, if you want to release what is effectively yours, you have to go back into debt. We think that's a wholly unsatisfactory way of doing business. So what we've created is a home price movement contract. And with the application of blockchain technologies, we enable homeowners to release that equity. But what they're not doing is homeowners don't have to get involved with blockchain or cryptocurrencies. What we effectively do is we've created a fund. We sell shares in that fund by way of digital assets. So in other words, we're creating assets that can be traded on digital token exchanges. But as far as the homeowner is concerned, they sell the rights to the potential future appreciation of their home, or some of those rights, to us as a fund. Now, that was a very long answer to what was actually a very simple question. So I hope I haven't, you know, confused everybody.
No, that's great. So if you are essentially partnering with someone who's buying the equity in your home, is it the same type of partnership you would see, you know, if you were a startup company? How does that contract compare to other sorts of contracts, since it's somewhat different than things we've seen in the past?
Well, first of all, if you look at who we have on the team, so equity sharing is something that has been around for about a decade. There's a number of companies that we compete with that already provide homeowners with the ability to release some of the equity that's locked up in their homes. But from an investment perspective, the people that invest in those companies tend to be larger institutions. And so from a personal perspective, you don't get the ability to invest into what is actually a very large asset class. There's over $15 trillion worth of equity.
And one of the most reliable, too,
ironically. I think it's one of the most researched. I think you're absolutely right that residential real estate in the US is something that, you know, has an enormous amount of research. And, you know, we have the Case-Shiller Index. We have the folks at Zillow and, CoreLogic and House Canarian. There's an enormous amount of information that's written about this asset class every day. But, you know, it is actually very difficult if you're a small investor to get any exposure to family homes where the owners actually still live there. I mean, it's okay if you want to be a landlord and deal with, you know, tenants, toilets and trash. But for those of us who want to avoid the perils of real estate ownership, yet still benefit from real estate investments, we've created the ability for people to do that. And the real benefit that we bring, though, is that the blockchain enables the shares that you buy in the fund to be traded or tradable on an emerging secondary market network.
Yeah, and that's sort of the beauty of it, is that whoever the tenant is, you know, whether they're an owner or not, they're sort of acting as a landlord while they're making use of the space at the same time. So whatever cost that might have been associated with the interest, you're essentially cutting them down because they're taking care and managing the property that you would otherwise need someone else to. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I think really what we're doing is we're saying it's a very new approach. And so because of that, the sort of, you know, I suppose, the metrics that you apply don't to normal real estate investment don't really apply in this situation. So you end up tripping over yourself slightly because you want to use words like leverage and debt and tenants and leasing and rental and income, but none of those apply because what we're doing is we're not buying homes and then renting them out. We're not lending money to people. We're saying to homeowners who have equity, what we'll do is we will buy a percentage of the potential increase in value of your home. So what we're betting on is that your house goes up in value. And what we say is if it does go up in value, we'll advance you some money now for that bet, which is effectively a contract. And if your house does go up in value, then we share in the increase in value. If it doesn't go up in value, then guess what? We don't actually make any profit. And if it goes down in value, then we, you know, like you, run the risk of actually suffering some potential loss as well. So it's much more
as it should be for a real investment, you would think.
Well, it's a partnership, exactly. So what we're saying to the homeowner is, you know, let's share in the potential upside, and you know, and you help protect us if it goes down. But there is risk on both sides. And because of that, we do two things. First of all, we create a real estate asset that's actually quite valuable. And, you know, there's lots of it. There's, you know, literally trillions of dollars worth of this asset in the US. And we allow through our platform accredited investors right now, but we're hoping to expand that through different, you know, regulatory exemptions. We enable people to invest in that. So what we're doing is we're saying, homeowners, don't worry, we're going to help you release your equity with no debt. If you want to invest in this very exciting real estate asset class, here's the structure, here's the mechanism, and here's the platform that allows you to move in and out. And the critical word is out, the ability to move in and out of your investment.
So as far as, you know, if I have a home that has like a mortgage on it, and I played with some of your calculators online. I wanted to go through it as much as I could and figure it out, you know, what I could get for the house that I live in right now. And so I was wondering how you sort of came up with those numbers, how much the mortgages that are existing factor in. And I guess if the investments that you're making are more strategic or right now you're trying to sort of cast a wide net.
Well, to answer in reverse order, we're currently focused just in California because this is a fairly complicated market to navigate in terms of, you know, regulations. So the team that we have on board has over a decade of experience in the creation, origination, management, servicing of these types of real estate transactions. So they're quite esoteric. They're not mainstream yet, but I think they probably will be quite soon. So we've got a very experienced team. And what we're doing is we're trying to get the maximum performance for our investors. So we're striking a balance at all times between the quality of the properties that we bring into the fund, the geographic location and the ability of those assets to appreciate in value. So it's not a wide net that we're casting. We're very specific about how we originate these transactions, where we originate them, what types of properties we bring in. We don't look so much at the customer's ability to repay debt, because this is not a debt transaction. We're really focusing on the potential of the property to appreciate. So right now our focus is very much on beach cities and the sort of areas within California that can give us the most growth. But over time, our plan is to diversify outside of California, which, you know, is a pretty big economy in its own right anyway, move into other states, and through different types of structured contracts allow properties that don't perform quite as well as those very large houses in Malibu. So we plan very much to spread both geographically and deeper into different types of properties.
So as far as the types of properties you're talking about, single family homes, are you moving into commercial properties, and what's your target market there? Is it really just anything of value that you guys think is a good underlying asset?
Well, it's really totally focused on single family homes and condominiums. So it's all about single families. It's even though the platform could certainly and the product could certainly be applied to commercial transactions. Commercial transactions are a very different animal to residential real estate. You said a little bit earlier that residential real estate is very well understood. Commercial is as well, but commercial real estate, very different animal, far more complicated, much more difficult to predict, very, very difficult to price compared to residential real estate. And there's lots of other players in it. In the space that we're in, there are literally two or three other players. We very much look forward to competing, mano a mano with those guys in what is, a $15 trillion marketplace. So, $15 trillion should be enough to keep us busy for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. So for people, one thing I was thinking about, people who have diversified into rental properties, doing things like Airbnbs, this seems like something that would probably be ideal for someone who is trying to invest in property while renting it, but maybe wanted to take out some cash to invest elsewhere as well. Is that a market you guys are thinking about?
It is. The market is really supply and demand. So the supply comes from homeowners who have equity and they want to really diversify. If you think about it from an investment strategy, if you've got all of your money locked up in one large illiquid asset, that's not normally the sort of strategy that the average investment advisor would recommend. So we're helping people. Yeah, exactly. Well, in fact, unless you're in 65% of America, so the bulk of Americans are in that position. It's not because they choose to be in that position. It's because, that's just the way it is. They choose not to go back into debt. So, because of that, the bulk of their assets are concentrated in their equity. So that's the first thing we're doing from the supply side, is we're creating liquidity in that real estate asset class. From the investment side, at the moment, if you want to get involved in real estate as an investment, you go through managed funds like a traditional REIT, or you can go and buy on your own or with some friends. You can buy a house. If you buy a house, typically what happens is you rent it out and then you have to manage the home. And then you have all the problems of active management. So what we have is a halfway house where you get the benefit of the potential, capital appreciation of the asset, but you don't have the same issues associated with actually physically owning a home and having to manage the, the tenants inside. So it's a new type of real estate asset.
Yeah, and I think it's exciting, especially for younger people, especially in, I've grown up in California my whole life, so I never planned to own a home by the time I was 25. But for younger people who are, looking at the real estate markets and not buying homes at nearly the rates they used to, do you think some sort of inventive strategies might get them back to the table?
Yeah, I think that is absolutely the case. I think what we're seeing really is the demand to participate in real estate, but not to be tied up with real estate ownership. So, you know, real estate is a great asset class and it's very deep and it's very wide. And there's all sorts of different sort of subsectors and, you know, divisions within, you know, what we say when we say real estate. We have the next generation of our platform, which is something that we've applied for a patent for, will enable people to go into the platform and to buy specific shares or specific fractions of individual properties. So right now we're talking about buying shares in a fund, which is a collection of properties. The next iteration of that, which we hope will be sometime later this year, will enable an investor to go in and say, well, I've got a few hundred dollars to invest or a few thousand dollars. I'd like to invest, you know, X amount in a share of this house in Malibu, some of this house in San Diego. There's a couple of places in San Francisco. So what the platform will allow you to do is actually buy into specific properties rather than just buying a share of an overall fund. And I think that's where it gets quite exciting because what we've built is a platform that allows you, subject to, you know, regulatory sign-off, allows you to buy fractions of homes and sell those fractions to other people in the marketplace. So we're creating a much more fluid marketplace for residential real estate, which is essentially rather an illiquid, you know, slow-moving asset class right now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you thought the biggest inhibitors were, because, I mean, the real estate market, it's super archaic. I've gone shopping, house shopping dozens of times. And the whole process is slow. There's so much paperwork. You have to deal with people at every step of the juncture. How do you think generally the market is going to change as technology gets better integrated? And how do you think ideally technology will be integrated to make it more efficient?
Well, I mean, historically, real estate has been a case of the, you know, immovable force and or rather the irresistible force and the immovable object. So trying to update systems processes within real estate has been a very slow process, and it's, you know, the real estate industry, which I wouldn't say it's archaic, but I think it's just layered. It has a lot of legacy built in because of the way that real estate has really grown over the last couple of hundred years in terms of how the laws developed and how the applications developed. But I think we're at a point now where we really are at that tipping point for real estate, because it is really one of the last huge industries that has managed to resist you know, the impact of technology. And that's really because the right technology hasn't actually come about. What blockchain brings is a technology that's ideally suited to something like real estate, because real estate relies on the accuracy of the ledger or the record of ownership. And that's really what real estate is all about. It's about the ownership or the transfer of ownership, the reliable transfer of ownership and rights associated with real estate. Now, those are currently articulated in both paper and computer format, and they're distributed across multiple organizations in multiple states. So there is a real demand to homogenize or to bring together all of these different practices and to apply technology. And I think the general consensus is that blockchain is the right technology that can be used because of its reliability, because of the huge degree of trust and immutability, or the inability to change blockchain technologies or a blockchain ledger. So because of that, I think we're beginning to see it now, but over the next 5 years, we're going to see some fairly seismic changes in the way that property ownership is managed from a technology perspective. And that increase in efficiency and speed and reduction in cost is going to make it so much easier for people to buy and sell houses.
So how have you guys integrated blockchain into your product? I know I read something about you partnering with a stable coin. So how would you integrate, you know, that coin or other pieces into your product?
Well, we're creating a coin that is backed by the real estate assets in our fund. So when you buy shares in a REIT, a normal traded REIT, you know, you're buying shares that are tradable on something like NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange. So what we're doing is we're issuing shares in our fund so that they can be tradable, not on the New York Stock Exchange, but on a parallel exchange infrastructure that's being developed right now. So effectively what we're doing is we're creating our own stable coin. Stable coin means lots of different things, but in our case, what we're doing is we're creating a token or a cryptocurrency that actually represents ownership in a fund, and that fund has measurable assets. So it's very different to the cryptocurrencies that we saw this time last year, which were really just, you know, conceptual or just programmatic representations. What we're talking about is a currency that has digital characteristics, which makes it fly around the world at the speed of light, yet at the same time it's issued in compliance with securities regulations, and it has actual ownership rights attached to it, which means if you hold one of our tokens, you're actually holding the ownership of a piece of our fund, in the same way that if you hold a share, you have the rights or the partial ownership of that company. So to answer your question, we're creating our own coin that's backed by these real estate assets, which leverages the efficiencies and the velocity that cryptocurrencies gives us in terms of tradability.
So, okay, now that makes a lot of sense. So, I know you've mentioned in your LinkedIn profile that you had started a podcast and you've been involved in a dozen or so other entrepreneurial ventures. So, could you tell me a little bit about how you got first interested in the real estate market and how blockchain eventually came into play and how recently that was?
Yes, of course. Now, I mean, I've been an entrepreneur for, I don't know, probably about 25, 30 years or so. So, and I think it's just a function of age, which means that, you know, I get to do lots of different things. It's not, it's one of the benefits, you know, of being an entrepreneur, you get to try different things. They don't always work. Yeah. But really, if you look at blockchain and cryptos, you know, a couple of years ago, for me, it was all about faint signals from the future. So I had been through the very early days of the internet when people were saying it was never going to catch on, and that, you know, how could a bookseller expect to make money? And as history has, or as the future has told us, these things often, you know, don't work out quite as you expect. So having been very much involved in technology at the beginning of the internet, things like blockchain and cryptocurrencies, these types of things come around every decade or so. And before you know it, they're on top of you. And the more experience you have and the older you are and the more things you've done, the more you tend to be able to pick up on these signals. So for me, it was very interesting to see how blockchain was developing. I mean, I wasn't there at the very beginning. You know, I missed all of the early signals, but I wasn't in too late. When I came over here about 5 years ago, my first company I set up was a real estate crowdfunding platform. So over a period of time, it became evident that there was an application where we could push together the efficiencies that this blockchain technology brings and real estate to try and make it accessible to a much wider audience. The asset class that we chose is this very interesting asset class, and we chose that because it's something that we'd been looking at for about the last 5 years, but really couldn't crack the whole liquidity nut. And I think that's something that blockchain did for us. It gave us an answer to the biggest question, which was how do we make equity in single family homes liquid and tradable.
And so on the compliance side, was it difficult to integrate it once you realized that was what you wanted to do? Did you have to jump through a dozen regulatory hoops? Or
and rightly so, because what we're doing is my experience was very much real estate and securities. So, you know, if you are running a crowdfunding platform, you're right in the sort of intersection between real estate and fund administration and securities law. So it wasn't something that was, I mean, securities law wasn't a great unknown. It was something that as a team we were very familiar with. It made perfect sense to issue a token as a security, leveraging the benefits that the technology brings, and at the same time, you know, allowing people to invest in real estate. So it wasn't this incredibly painful process of jumping through fiery hoops. You know, there are a lot of rules that one has to abide by, but, you know, it's, you know, we're in the securities business, so we don't have any more rules or regulations than anyone else in this business has to abide by.
So other than real estate, are there any other industries that you're keeping an eye on, either for blockchain to enter or for just other technologies to enter that you think are exciting? As an entrepreneur, I'm sure you have your pulse on some of these things. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you have to remember there's only so many hours in the day. So although it'd be lovely to sort of watch everything, we're very focused on what we're doing here, which is in this very specific niche, even though the niche itself is, you know, quite large. But what we are seeing is the impact, the sort of halo effect. So, you know, if we're in the center, what we are seeing is the impact of blockchain on securities. And that's where I'm seeing it most. It's going to be slow in terms of real estate itself, and it's going to be, it will be adopted over the next 5 to 10 years, but, you know, slowly and surely, because it is entirely logical that that should happen. But I think the biggest change that we're going to see in the next, you know, year or 2 years is the adoption of blockchain technologies by established securities institutions. Such as NASDAQ, New York Stock Exchange, London Stock Exchange, Australian Exchange. So we're going to see an impact on efficiencies, which will benefit consumers and investors. There'll be a reduction of cost, an increase in trading velocity. I think these are all things that we're going to be seeing very soon. And these are these are all technology-driven, not cryptocurrency-driven. It's all to do with the actual fundamental underlying technology.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. So if I'm someone who's interested in the platform, where are you guys as far as the development? What are some things that you're excited for, and how have people gotten involved already, and how should people get involved going forward?
Well, it's all live. So, I mean, everything that I'm talking about, you can go and see and kick the tires. We're at quantumre.com, which is quantumre.com. All of the, you know, details about our plans, and you know, if you're a homeowner, you can check out how much capital you'll be able to release. We are adding people to our waiting list right now, but we'll be in a position very soon, I hope, to be able to start throwing some cash their way. Everything is, you know, there, and there is a roadmap for the implementation and the delivery of this peer-to-peer platform. So I think we are generally excited about everything because it's all, you know, it's here, it's you know, it's moving ahead, you know, the plan is coming together. We've been working on this for a year and a half, and it's gone way beyond the sort of concept stage. We're now actually deploying, and very soon we'll be moving some capital around. So you know, it's, and then it's about scaling. So that's where it becomes most interesting.
Yeah, globalization. We'll see how the Chinese market takes it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the next challenge. You know, well, I wouldn't say the next challenge. I think we got enough on our plate at the moment. But
you know, a few challenges ahead.
Well, you know, one likes to keep oneself sharp.
Yeah, exactly. Well, guys, if you're in California and you're interested in investing in California real estate, or you own a home in California, is that right? Then go check out Quantum RE.
Absolutely, yes. And you know, just come and check us out anyway. Even if you don't own a home, we'd be delighted to hear from you.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And I'll see you guys soon.